Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
We're going to talk all about Wetback Nation today, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special. Michael Z with you, with a special guest. Why do you think we call it the Saturday special? Yes, sir. So we're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon, and we encourage your participation, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. So keep the dial set to your favorite radio station, and stay with us for the next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
There is a promo. Yeah. No. The promo. Well, that's okay. I'll say. You want to do the promo? I mean, the promo, the 122. It's in there somewhere, right?
In 2002, U.S. authorities deported almost a million Mexicans. Roughly 400,000 legal and illegal immigrants enter the U.S. each year. There are roughly 9.8 million Mexican immigrants, both legal and illegal, in the U.S. So let's stop this deadly nonsense, at least as a test, and replace the failed barrier with a banner reading, Bienvenidos, says Peter Loffer, author of Wetback Nation, the case for opening the Mexican-American border. Join MZ and guest Peter Loffer this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon as we discuss this highly volatile subject. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special on your Give Us Your Tired, Your Poor, and Your Huddled Masses radio stations, AM 1080 KSEO and AM 1340 KOMY.
Hey, I just met Peter Loffer. Loffer, am I saying it right? Kind of a radio station doesn't even, you know, check that out ahead of time?
No, absolutely.
Well, what is it really? Loffer?
Loffer, yes.
Okay, Peter Loffer. Okay. Oftentimes you're confused with Peter Loffer, but people say Peter Lawford, right?
Well, he's been dead for quite some time now, and so the confusion wanes. But I will tell you, Michael, and as we were discussing, I am also in this radio business in addition to writing. And years ago, I was working at KABC in Los Angeles. And I received a bar bill from a Polynesian restaurant up in Hollywood for some $500-$600, and that was the more amusing confusion that I ever received with the names, because there's no way I could spend, as hard as I would try, $500-$600 in a night at a bar, Polynesian or otherwise.
Wow. Well, in those days, maybe it's not so hard these days. Anyhow, welcome to the Saturday special, Peter. You've written quite a number of books. One that I'm aware of is a book on talk radio.
Inside Talk Radio. Inside it's about 10 years old now, with the subtitle America's Voice or Just Hot Air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and one of our special callers and friends, Richard N. Watsonville, is actually mentioned in that book, as I understand it.
Yeah, there's no question. It's in the acknowledgments of the book. I didn't bring a copy with me, but I thanked the usual suspects, the editor, the publisher, my mother, and thanked especially Richard in Watsonville, because, excuse me, years ago also, when I was working on KCBS in San Francisco, back before it was all news and we aired talk shows in the evening, I struggled sometimes in the 2 to 3 hour in the morning when I was doing the overnight show, and Richard from Watsonville was almost always there to participate as the night waned.
Yeah, he is a talk radio icon for sure. I'm not sure people understand that in our audience. I mean, everybody in KSCO land knows Richard N. Watsonville, but they probably don't know how widespread he is known in the entire talk radio industry.
Fascinating guy. It's been a dozen years or more since I've talked to him on the radio, but I remember that he's a Vietnam veteran and has an old, or did then, Pontiac, as I recall, and we had some terrific conversations and fights over the radio.
Well, today we're going to talk about your latest book, which is Wetback Nation, The Case for Opening the Mexican-American Border. And I confess, people know this, that I'm the world's slowest reader here, so I've only read a couple of the chapters here. But I don't need to read the whole thing, because, heck, I got the horse's mouth himself here, right here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the time to talk about the book.
But, so you feel, in a nutshell, that there should be no controls whatsoever at the border, or encapsulate it. You can.
Okay, it's easy, I think. And I think that the premise is embracing. It's not a right-wing or left-wing premise or concept. It's pragmatic. And here is basically my argument. And I think that this is intriguing for people in your audience, because, of course, the conflicts that arise because of illegal or undocumented immigration into this country are consequential in Santa Cruz County. I'm living in Sonoma County now, very similar, the two counties so dependent on Mexican workers for agriculture and for tourism.
How true, yeah.
And so here's the deal. And again, I just want to emphasize this. This is an encompassing, pragmatic concept in my mind. Right now, everybody agrees the border is out of control. It's chaos. It's deadly. It simply doesn't work. And for the most part, any Mexican who really wants to come north comes north. Might get turned back a couple of times, but eventually any Mexican
might get killed in the process.
Might well be killed.
Crossing the San Diego freeway, as I observed personally a few years ago. And I said, what was that? And the person I was driving with said, that happens a lot on here, you know. It was tragic.
Oh,
it was awful.
Awful. Killed that way.
Yeah.
Killed by a coyote, raped by marauding predators, robbed by...
When you say a coyote, you don't mean a coyote, an aminal coyote. A coyote is a special word given to somebody who assists someone from Mexico to get into the United States, right?
Yeah, and well, you put it in a much less loaded way. They are assisting, or they are people smugglers, whatever you want to call them. But yes, you're absolutely right. And so this is a tragic gauntlet for all of these reasons, the harsh weather. But nonetheless, any Mexican, for the most part, who really wants to come north, comes north. And those numbers are huge, as we all know. And so the border is in chaos. It's out of control. Any Mexican who wants to come north comes north. We, in fact, solicit them, of course. We want them here because we need them as workers, no matter what the nuances of the argument are.
It's almost a little disingenuous, huh? Because they make a big deal out of about immigration killing us, but at the same time, they welcome... You know, much of the business welcomes the Mexican people to do the work that nobody else wants to.
Of course, and or that they are able to underpay for, because they can get non-documented people to come up here worried about their status to work for the wages that they'll offer. Now, all of this is the predicate to say it's out of control. Anybody comes that wants to come, so... And the Border Patrol is ludicrously overworked and can't handle it, no matter how much money we throw at them, equipment, manpower. We open the border to any Mexican who wants to come north for whatever reason, work, play, people who are law-abiding Mexicans. There is a control system of some sort. They come up through border control points, and they wave the identity card that they agree to carry and we agree to accept, and they come up here. And then the Border Patrol can be in a position to secure the border against those we don't want up here. So by opening the border to Mexicans, and the dominant number of people who are coming up here that we are concerned about are Mexicans, it'll enable the Border Patrol to secure the border against drug smugglers, common criminals, terrorists, all the people we really don't want up here.
Well, how do you know that there won't be Mexican terrorists? Because there are American terrorists.
Of course.
Now.
Of course there are. You're talking about millions of people. So, but the reason why my argument in this book is so good is they're coming up here anyway. So if you're worried about some bad guys slipping through the system if we're allowing Mexicans to come up freely if they wish to, you should be really worried, because right now they can obviously do that. Anybody who wants to can get up here. So if we have a controlled movement of Mexicans back and forth whenever they wish to come up here, then you're in a position to close the border for the most part to the really bad guys. Of course some of them will come up anyway, or they're indigenous. How about indigenous? How about Timothy McVeigh? You know, I mean, you don't have to have a border crossing for somebody to blow up a building.
Yeah.
That's the basic premise. And I'd be happy to talk
about it. I've written a whole book on this.
And
the first couple chapters talks about some friends of yours. I think the names were changed to protect, you know, them, their identity and so forth, and the town was changed, as I recall. But you talk about how these are fine, upstanding, salt of the earth, paying their taxes type people. The only difference between them and you and me is that they don't have a green card, which we don't need, I guess. So that they're here illegally, but everything else they do is legal. Now, how common is that? I mean,
it's
just as common to have illegals, people who are illegal here who are not upstanding, and probably as many as, you know, a lot of them that are just not law abiding and don't pay their taxes and so forth.
For the most part, people, and color me naive if you wish, but for the most part, people want the same thing that you want, that I want. We want our children to get an education. We want them to live well. We want to be as happy as we can be. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So people who are coming up here are hard workers. They are the survivors. They come up here and take jobs that with all due respect, you and I simply would not do. They are, like the two that I describe in the book, one of whom is a house cleaner and the other is a laborer, a man and a woman. They are hardworking, upstanding citizens who don't have documentation to be here. Of course, there are Mexicans who come up here who end up being criminals, just as there are people who are born and raised here that end up in San Quentin. But to consider that we're going to solve this problem by continuing to have chaos on the border and a completely porous border and pretend that we have a line
It's not completely porous.
All right, not completely.
It's
ludicrously porous. But yes, you're right. There are people who are stopped. But to consider that we're going to make this work the way it is now, that the status quo is acceptable, I can't understand anybody who can argue opposite.
Peter Laufer is our guest on the Saturday special, 479-1080 or 477-1340, our phone numbers if you want to call and participate in the conversation. I see we already have one caller. Let's go ahead and bring Susan from Corralitos on. She's on line one, so if we can bring Susan up and welcome her to the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday special. Susan, you there?
Yeah, great. I hope you guys are doing well today.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah. So if we don't have any power in Corralitos, it's been going off.
This is an outrage.
Yeah, or an outage.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I think your guess is, considering that our border is somewhat like a semi-permeable membrane, that things can pass up north through it, but things don't really pass down to the south. And that is the culture of Mexico and the things that happen in Mexico that make their labor so cheap. They use child labor. They work for really low wages. They are willing to live a lifestyle up here where they'll live 19 men in a dirt basement under a house in Watsonville. Doesn't translate because Americans don't go down to Mexico and lead cheaper lives and make political or economic advantage out of that.
Well, actually, Americans do go down to Mexico and live cheaper lives.
A few do, but they're not afforded the privileges that the reverse flow get up here.
Well, actually, this is interesting.
You have some experience in this regard, right? Because you've been to Mexico many times yourself.
I just came back day before yesterday from my most recent trip. I go down there a lot. I work down there. One of the things I bring up in the book is what a two-way street it is.
Well, we have deep economic integration going on with Mexico right now, and it's definitely not a two-way street in terms of the average American citizen. Instead of annexing Mexico as a state in the United States and bringing the American political system down there and protecting the rights of the citizens up here, what we have is these lowering of trade barriers and these summits that are actually requiring us to accept migrants from Mexico without penalty. That is especially when the Free Trade of Americas agreements gets ratified by our Congress, which it very well will be. The Summit of the Americas has already determined that all the people in the Western Hemisphere should be able to travel freely into the United States at will and leave at will, take their Social Security or anything else they might have paid into with them, also be able to send their remittance money back to their country of origin at a very low rate. And now we have this Partnership for Prosperity that just got started, where we are building small business administration offices down in Mexico. We are sending money to Mexico like crazy so Mexico can improve its housing supply for the people who live there. We have a company called CEMEX, which owns Bonnie Dune, the cement company up in Bonnie Dune now, which is actually
opened. That was purchased from Lone Star? RMC,
yes.
Lone Star? When was that?
It's not been publicly announced yet, but it happened a few months ago.
Wow.
And what they're doing is that they have set up a bank that lets Mexican migrants or illegal immigrants or whoever purchase construction materials here with the money that they earn up here, and then they'll ship it to the location in Mexico where they want to build a house. And all this is being subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer. So when you're talking about opening the borders, what you're really doing is saying that you want to open the pocketbooks of the American taxpayer even further, because we don't see the Mexican government up here subsidizing our housing needs up here. We don't see them making it easy
for... Let me just stop you for just a second, if I may.
Oh, go ahead.
First of all, one of the fascinating aspects of talk radio is the way information gets thrown out, and not to suggest that you don't believe everything that you're saying is correct, or that it may in fact be correct. We're talking about a litany of facts or a litany of information that you just threw out as if it were fact that we can't check right now.
So let's
just stipulate that you're right.
Is a true fact.
That you are right, but just let's mention that we don't have the documentation in front of us. It's the nature of talk radio. However, let's stipulate that you are right. What rarely occurs in a discussion about Mexican immigration is the overall look at the economic benefits to the United States. And the way you frame your argument just now is a real example of that. You can't isolate one thing, such as saying the Mexican government doesn't subsidize housing in the United States, because it's with all due respect, a meaningless point to make.
Why?
It has
if
to be
people,
looked at holistically.
If people
what
are coming from Mexico and living here, why isn't the Mexican government subsidizing their housing here?
Let me just finish the point, and it'll maybe make sense, okay? And then I'll stop talking, but let me just finish the point. If you look at the relationship holistically of the United States and Mexico, capital, labor, tourism, geography, all of it. If you look at it holistically, then there is a de facto reality that you must accept, because you see it in Corralitos every day. Mexicans who wish to come up here, come up here. So if that's regularized in some manner, the list that you made of problems, if they are correct, can begin to be addressed without this overlay of chasing people around so that they get knocked over on the highway the way Michael described he saw it in San Diego. The point that I try to make in the book and that I'm trying to make here is we've got the situation anyway. Let me draw this very, very silly and simplistic parallel just in terms of what we have to do when we see something that isn't working to make it right. If you remember back, if you're old enough, to when Richard Nixon responded to the gas prices going up, a crisis for us, by creating a federal speed limit of 55 miles an hour. And a lot of us at the time, maybe in our paranoia of the period, thought that this was done so that everybody would become a lawbreaker, because nobody's going to go 55 miles an hour, especially if you're going from Missoula to Cheyenne. You just aren't going to go 55 miles an hour. It made everybody in the country essentially a lawbreaker because nobody was going to go 55 miles an hour. Eventually, the laws have been changed. Now, if you get on I-5 and you want to go up to Mount Shasta, then you can go 70 legally. Of course, everybody goes 80. The point being, when you have a situation where the laws don't work, then society has to make an adjustment here. Everybody wants the Mexicans up here.
I totally disagree with that.
Wait a minute, Susan. Do you disagree that there needs to be an adjustment? It's just you will disagree on what the adjustment needs to be. He wants the adjustment to be one way, and you want the adjustment to be 180 degrees the other way. Am I right?
No, you're not correct.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
What I have stated and what I'm trying to tell you is that it isn't that America wants Mexico and Mexicans in America. What is happening is a actual economic incentive for them to come up here that's based on treaties that our government is making with Mexico and with other countries through the World Trade Organization. And when I mention the Summit of the Americas, this is something that everybody should learn about because it is an organization, a parliament that meets once a year. They're going to meet in January of 2005 again. And they direct the United States and tell us that we have to accept migrants, that we have to lower the cost of remittances, we have to do all these things, help them build housing, bring our SBA down to Mexico, bring all of our loan, you know, open up our banks and let illegals have bank accounts. We're being directed from at an international level about what to do about our border. It's not that we want it. We are being told we have to have it. Now, in the old days, there would be discussion, like in Alaska and Hawaii, to annex Mexico as a state. And then we can preserve our political system, which, you know, grants our freedoms and the things that we hold dear, as opposed to having it be overrun or diluted to the point where it doesn't exist anymore. That's the problem with opening up the border. We're affecting our political system and the ability of the American citizens to even have any kind of say in their life at all.
He's shaking his head, so he does not agree with you. But you know what?
This is coming from an international level, and it isn't everyday Americans who are making this decision. And to be told that you're treating us like children and telling us that we, you know, everybody wants this and we might as well just accept it is wrong. We're being told we have to have it, and it's coming from an international body, the Organization of American States through the Summit of the Americas. And if you see all of the positions that our current president has taken recently on the illegal alien amnesty, the remittance money, and all that stuff, it's all coming directly from an international body, the Summit of the Americas. It is not America's choice at all.
Susan, thank you very much for your call to the KSCO Saturday Special. 1028, hour number one, and we have that opens a line at 479-1080. We have lines open at 477-1340, but let's go to our next caller now. Caller number two will be on line two. That would be Margaret in Santa Cruz. So let's bring Margaret up and welcome her to the Saturday Special with MZ and Peter Laufer.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
Excuse my touch of laryngitis.
You better make it fast because I don't want to catch it.
Okay. I know of two people that are being that are illegal immigrants, wetbacks, if you will, and the one woman has grand mal seizures, epilepsy, if you will. She hasn't had a episode in 3 years. However, mainstream support services in Aptos, they provide for her, along with San Andreas Regional Center in Watsonville. They got that down, mainstream support services.
I love this argument. I'm just trying to not talk until you tell me about how she's abusing the social services.
Okay. San Andreas Regional Center, she is illegally here. She gets food stamps, Medicare, Medicruz.
Bless her.
She goes to all the faith-based charities and gets food and clothes. She gets HUD housing. All of her housing is furnished. Beautiful apartment. She has all of her affairs taken care of by an interpreter. She gets medications to the tune of $800 a month for free, which are picked up and delivered to her by her paid chauffeur that does all of her services, takes her to the dentist, which is for free.
Probably power windows in the car that she's in.
She gets, she refuses to learn the language, and she's just sitting, you know, really pretty, as an illegal immigrant, sucking off of our hard-earned tax dollars right here in Santa Cruz. And she had a fight with her mother, and they wanted to fly her back to Mexico, and they were going to pay it. I said, why don't you just take her to the immigration center and get her, you know, she's illegal. It's a crime against this country. And Santa Cruz is just catering to these illegal immigrants.
Okay, stop for a second. And now again, think about this holistically. And let's again stipulate that you're right, that this woman.
Oh, this is a fact. You can call.
Oh, yes, it's a fact. So let's agree. Let's stipulate that
I know
this
her
is
worker.
Correct. Do you know the word stipulate? Let's agree that it's correct. I'm not arguing with you.
Okay.
Let's agree that this woman is just sitting pretty, as you say, living the life of Riley on U.S. social services. Okay? Let's remember back to when President Reagan talked about the welfare queen and the Cadillac. Remember that?
Well, was the welfare queen a U.S. citizen or a criminal?
You're missing the point. Let me just continue then. Let's stipulate that this woman is abusing the system. Okay? Let's.
Well, as a criminal, yes. A federal crime.
Let me just finish the sentence. Okay? So, if you look at this holistically again, and you think about what comes to the economy of Santa Cruz County. What comes to the economy of the United States when work that needs to be done, the picking of lettuce in the Salinas Valley, the picking of apples in Washington State, the cleaning up of hotel rooms during the Republican convention in New York City.
Well, heck, go get the prisoners in jail to go out and do it if they have such a hard time with men.
Let me finish the thought.
Getting
here, okay?
A job.
Let me finish it, okay? So, if you look at it again holistically, what's contributed to the economy, then you look at all the other social services that are available to people who are in this country illegally and who do not take advantage of those social services because they fear if they do, they will be caught and deported.
Which is what they deserve.
Which perhaps could be argued is what they deserve. But the point here, please, is that when all of that is tabulated, most surveys and studies agree that the drain is minimal compared with the gain that our economy gets from illegal immigration from Mexico.
Surveys? You mean like polls or what? What kind of surveys?
No, I mean studies, academic studies, government studies, tabulations of the numbers done by
general. Yeah, well, crime has its way of benefiting some and really victimizing others. Yahoo, what's the point? Crime is crime. Illegal is illegal.
Well, that's the case that's made by people who oppose the concept. The pat phrase is just, what part of illegal don't you understand? And that's why I use the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit example.
I see. Okay. Hey, Margaret, thanks for calling the Saturday special. We've got quite a number of other callers. Let's pick up the pace here.
You too, MD. Thank you.
Our next caller will be Rob in Santa Cruz. He's on line 3, so let's welcome Rob to the Saturday special at 34 minutes past 10 a.m., hour number 1. Are you there, Rob?
Yeah, hi.
How do you do?
Yeah. You're talking about opening the borders, and this is a discussion that's gone on for decades.
Do you have your radio on? I'm hearing a little bit of feedback.
Oh, is it getting feedback?
Yeah, please turn it down.
There you go. Sorry about that. Now, you say you're going to open the borders, issue the people that want to come up here and work, you're going to give them a card. And by doing
and
that,
a driver's license too, which there was a whole chapter devoted to driver's licenses in your book. Here.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's have those people have driver's licenses. I have never understood, Michael, how people in the book Wetback Nation. I absolutely have a chapter devoted to this. I never understood why people would prefer to stand firm and not allow the people who are on the highways to have driver's licenses. Instead, they'd prefer to have them not know our rules, not pass the test, and drive without a license. It confounds me. But anyway, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all fine, you know, and that's great. Everybody should have a license, should be able to know how to drive and so on and obey our laws. But like the last two previous callers have said, these people are completely, they're illegal. They are illegal. You know, I know the Mexicans don't like using that word. Their lawyers don't like that word. But the fact is, they are breaking our laws by being here illegally.
Absolutely.
There's all kinds of people from all over the world that want to come to the United States. There's Africans, you know. There's Frenchmen that want to come here. There are people in the Soviet Union that want to come here, and from China. They want to come here from everywhere, right? But if we have no laws, we just open our borders and say, just come on in. Well, this is no longer a country then. This ceases to be a sovereign nation. And so what you're advocating is just a global opening of all borders to just carte blanche, you know, hey.
Well, actually, it's not what I'm advocating. What I'm advocating is very specific. What I'm advocating is regulating the reality. And the reality is that pretty much any Mexican who wants to come here comes here. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. And so let's regularize this
Why
reality.
Why aren't you talking about the rest of the world? What gives Mexicans the explicit right to come here?
It's very simple. It's really, really simple. We share a border, we share a culture, we share mutual needs, and if you want to look at
it, we don't share a culture. My ancestors weren't Aztecs.
Oh,
we don't share a culture.
Stop. Of course you share a culture. Where do you live in the listening area? Where are you?
Well, you're saying because this used to be part of Mexico,
Santa
right?
Santa Cruz. I don't know if he lives there. He's there now.
Listen, in 1848 we ended that.
But where
that was ended in 1848. We drew a line that's called the Rio Grande.
With a war of aggression, invasion, occupation, and theft of property. But that was, as you say, 150 some odd years ago. But where do you live? Do you live in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I live in Santa Cruz.
Okay. What does that mean, Santa Cruz?
Oh, come on. Don't give me this. Everything's named in Spanish. Of course it is.
Of course it is. So then don't tell me we don't share a culture.
But the California. You know, the Californios, they weren't even, you know, they were like Spanish grandees. They had huge haciendas. Marin County was a hacienda. Santa Cruz was a hacienda. Branca Forte was a hacienda. You're talking Spanish here. What you're talking about, I'm talking Spanish. That's what Californios were. They were Spaniards. They created Monterey, the Presidios, and they were Spanish people that subjugated Mexican Indians or Indians, whatever, and then mixed with them and made Mexicans. You know, Mexico is Mexico, Spain is Spain, the United States is the United States.
Well, actually,
you're mixing it all up.
It isn't anymore. There's just nothing you can do about it, no matter how many soldiers you put on the border. So let's fix it instead.
Let's fix it. What you're advocating is chaos, man. You know, what you're advocating is just letting them come up here, just open the borders and just come on up.
I have a
bring their values, bring all their diseases. They don't have a health system like we do. They have no welfare system. They have no unemployment system. They have not come in all these years. They are still a subjugated people.
I have a
we
friend.
Are not.
Listen,
we
listen
are
to
free.
Me for a second. Listen to me for a second. I have a friend. His name is Luis Urrea. He's a wonderful writer. He was born in Tijuana. He teaches at Harvard and the University of Illinois at Chicago. He just finished a book called I have to remember the name of the book before the end of the show because I want people to read it. It's a fantastic book about a group who came across into Arizona and up into the Devil's Canyon, and many of them died. And he and I were talking about the similarities of our points of view in the book, and he said, and Michael, I'm just now out on the talk radio circuit with the book. The book was just published, as you know, Wetback Nation. And my friend said to me, when you get out there and start talking to those people on talk radio, they gonna jump you, brother, and that's what's happening here this morning. And I appreciate it. It's fascinating to hear what you all have to say.
Well, dude, you're gonna make a lot of money. You're gonna make a lot of money off of an incendiary subject. It's incendiary here because we come out of our houses, We go down the street, and we see groups of Mexicans standing waiting for work. Well, that's great. And God bless them if they want to work. Anybody that wants to work, in my opinion, is blessed of God. It's simple as that. However, if I go to Mexico and stand on the street and advocate myself, and I go there illegally and stand on my... A federale can pick me up. He can throw me in jail. I don't see a lawyer for a month. I don't get a phone call. I get thrown in the clink. I've been in Mexico. I've lived there. I know how they live. I know how they treat animals. I know their mentality. And the fact is, they are a completely different culture. And I enjoy that culture when I go there legally and spend my money, my hard-earned money there, and come home to my home in the United States. They come up here illegally, and because they're illegally, as you said, they have all kinds of problems. They prey on each other. The stronger prey on the weak. It's a huge problem, and I understand it fully. But the only way you're going to solve a problem like that is, number one, you have to secure your border. If you do not secure your border, your perimeters, then anyone can come in. Do you secure your perimeters when you go home at night?
There's a check.
At your house?
Could I have the answer his question.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I have the book for a second?
You do. You secure your perimeters when you go home at night.
There's a chapter in the book.
Why do you do that? Why do you lock your door when you go home at night? You've got to stop
with the questions so that I can answer them. Yes.
Why
he has to just stop firing them at me so I can answer them. There's a chapter in the book that deals exactly with what you're talking about. It's called What is a Border? Get up in the morning and stumble to the bathroom. There is probably a door on that bathroom. Do you close it? That probably depends on who is in the house with you. If you've been sleeping with a friend or a lover or just sharing a bed for convenience, you've faced a border even before the bathroom. Get back on your side of the bed, you may have mumbled if your companion disturbed your sleep, or you've got all the covers. We are surrounded by borders. They provide us with security, comfort, limits, and definitions. That's how that chapter begins. You and I agree. That's my point here, that we agree. However, we've got a problem, and that this problem needs to be fixed, and we've failed year after year after year to fix this problem, and this is a solution that can begin to repair it. From
not
a
offering
point of
a
view,
solution, though.
And we can disagree on that.
You're not offering a solution. You are offering a hypothesis. You have absolutely no basis for this possibly coming to fruition and being successful.
Well,
none
thanks,
whatsoever.
Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We really appreciate
it. Okay, dude. I appreciate that. I'm just a little hyped about this, you know.
well, you're not the only one. In fact, I'm going to read this email that was just sent to me, mz@ksco.com, from Mark Penniman. Michael, we just turned off the radio. It could be good radio, but the guest's condescending manner with the two women who called in to share their perspectives on the issue was unbearable. And it's signed Mark.
That's it. That's my opinion. That's my complete opinion.
But
thanks,
are you
going to
turn off the radio now, Rob?
Pardon me?
Are you going to turn off the radio like Mark said?
No, I'm not.
Makes me happy. I know Mark Penniman. He's a great guy, but I'm sad that Mark had to turn off the radio. I think he should be a little more tolerant.
Well, I'm not going to turn it off
people.
Because...
I think you might not like what Peter is saying, but I think he is being a gentleman. I don't think he's jumping in and interrupting. He's doing that a little bit, but so are the callers doing that to him. I mean,
well, that's true.
So come on, let's be fair, and I'm going to use that to segue into what we call a tease in the radio business here. I don't know if you've heard Kay's latest commentary.
No, I haven't.
It's the best of all time. I mean, but it makes all the others pale by comparison.
Oh, I can't wait.
Absolutely fantastic.
I love the others,
you know. So at the first thing at the top of hour number two, we're going to play Kay's latest and greatest. I don't know how she keeps outdoing herself, but she does. And the response
smart.
That has been elicited by totally irrational, unreasonable, mad dog people as a result of hearing this. I might actually play one of the voicemails. I'll decide about that later on. But anyhow,
thanks, Mike.
That is a tease, so stay with us. Thanks for your call, Rob. We appreciate it. And
talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Keep listening to the Saturday special. Now, Aaron, I think we should, before we take the next caller, I think we should do a commercial break. What do you think here? We do have Thor in Monterey, Millie in Rio Del Mar, Gary in Live Oak, Rory in Watsonville, Jim in Monterey, and so forth here. Now, do you have that great new ID, that great new ID that we talked about on the computer?
Sure do.
Okay, let's play it.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Okay, good. We like that. Keep that. Let's keep running that. Okay.
I'm fired then.
All right, let's do the commercial break at 10:45. Stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. We'll be back right after this commercial break.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
Hi, this is John Martinelli, fourth generation manager of S. Martinelli & Company. We hope you'll enjoy our sparkling cider at your holiday celebrations and have a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be, KSCO.
Welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special. I'm listening to a voicemail in the background. When you call for our listener comment line, anybody in the world can do it. It's area 831-429-2222. When you call that make your deposit, as it were, it electronically gets emailed to me, and if I happen to be near a computer, it comes through. I'm not going to play that because there's some profanities in it here, the one that I just retrieved. Anyhow, we always welcome listener comments, except from listeners who have been banned from the radio station, because when they get banned from the radio station, they're also banned from the listener comment line, and when they have to do something very bad to be banned from being a caller to the radio station, because after all, we pride ourselves in being a voice for everyone. And the only reason that we would ban somebody is if they They repeatedly refuse to live by the very few simple rules that we have. But in any case, so let's go on to our next call. Our guest, by the way, is Peter Laufer, author of Wetback Nation, The Case for Opening the Mexican-American Border. And it's a pretty spicy program today. If you want to give us a call and participate, the phone numbers, as always, are 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to email me, it's mz at ksco.com. That's during the program now and at any time. If you want to have a great, you want to listen to something great here on the website, go to ksco.com. In fact, get into the habit of visiting our ksco.com website. We were probably one of the first 10 radio stations in the whole world to have a website, but for the last 10 years, we've been horrendously, I mean, just horribly and ridiculously neglectful of it. But starting, you know, about a month or two ago, thanks to the great efforts of Cyril Vitomsky, your progressive and multicultural ambassador of the New World Order, and Dennis Weller from Day and Night Computer, we have a much more lively and vibrant website. I'm only going to leave this up for today here, because if you click on the website, you will get to hear the actual great moment in radio that happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's on another station, but it's okay. I'll say it, KGO. One of the callers to the Ron Owens program on KGO was none other than Howard Stern, and the guest that Ron had was Michael Powell, the chairman of the FCC. And Howard really got in Powell's face big time. So we put that on our website, because it is a news item after all. You know, it's a made worldwide news. So that's only going to be up today. So if you want to hear it, that's what you should go there today. And after that, we're going to put in that same slot Kay's latest and greatest commentary, which we will be broadcasting on this program in about 15 minutes or so, immediately after the news, as we begin hour number two of the Saturday special. It's MZ and Peter Laufer. You're with you on the KSCO Saturday special, 52 minutes past 10 a.m., 8 minutes before 11. And if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to fax us, our fax number is 475-2967. Aaron will read it. And let's go back to the phone.
Michael, you're going to let me just say a word, if I could,
yeah, sure.
Regarding what the last caller said. I do hope your listeners, and I'm particularly intrigued with your listeners and concerned about them, because I used to live in Santa Cruz. I hope that people realize that I come to this project and to writing this book, Wetback Nation, with concern for our shared California and our country, and it is, as you said, Michael, it's a hot button topic, to use the cliche, and so I'm impassioned when I talk about it too, but no disrespect meant to those with whom I disagree. On the contrary, I'm looking at the book as an opportunity to begin some discussion where we can come together on this issue looking for solutions.
Great. Let's go to Thor in Monterey on line four, our next caller on the KSCO Saturday special. Thor, you're on the air. Hello, Thor.
Thor. Like the previous callers, I completely disagree with your proposal. And we're still on?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay, I heard a click.
I'm all ears, as Ross Perot would say.
Okay. First off, you're talking about... you know, the previous car talking about perimeter and all that, and what you're proposing is basically just leaving your front door wide open where anyone could come in and into your house and take advantage of, you know, whatever you have in there and all that. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do to try to strengthen the border, and I think we really need to do this. Just one thing I wanted to also mention was I recently heard a talk from a speaker from the FAIR group, I think it's the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And he was saying they went down, some of the people from his organization went down to the Arizona border. And in addition, just a bunch of just garbage and trash that's just left there, dirty diapers and all that kind of stuff from all the illegals crossing. He said they also found some things which I thought was very interesting. They found they found like a prayer rug, copies of the Quran, things like that. So it's not just Mexican nationals coming into the border. There's
You're
also
absolutely correct, Thor. You are absolutely correct, and that is the point that I make in the book. And in fact, there is a long chapter in the book that details experiences I had on the border when I was at the ranch of a very frustrated American just on the north side of the border, and he walked me around his place where I saw things such as you described,
mm-hmm.
the throwaways of bottled water with Spanish language labels, the diapers, a lot of women's underwear, which he theorizes is the left there as the result of rapes as people are coming across the border. He told me horror stories about his experiences living always with a gun in his belt, watching television with a gun on the table next to him, worried because his young daughter is in the bedroom there alone. All of these things, we share these concerns, Thor.
Yeah, we have to stop it. But by opening the door, that's not going to help at all. That's just going to make the matter worse, getting more people over here.
Let me finish the thought here, please.
Sure.
My concern is the same as yours. The door is open. By regularizing the transit of Mexicans back and forth through regular ports of entry with their identities established, people that we want up here anyway, whether we want to admit it or not, then we can start to begin to be in a position to close that door you're talking about so that those we don't want up here, for example, perhaps these people with the prayer rugs, if that is in fact happening, then we can begin to enforce the border. Right now, though, it is completely out of control.
Right, but I don't see by opening a door it's mutually exclusive. That's not going to make any difference as far as the securing or the strength of the border as it is now. There's all sorts of things we can do. There's a group called American Border Patrol, which is
I detail their activities in the book. They are, with all due respect, a bunch of self-aggrandizing, loudmouth adventurers. They're not helping accomplish what you and I both want to have accomplished.
At least they're doing something in the right direction. But the government really should also do things like that, use unmanned reconnaissance airplanes and all that. Use our technology to strengthen the border. Don't just say, oh, let's just give up. It's so porous, we can't do anything about it.
It's not a matter of giving up, Thor. It's a matter of accepting that this is transit that we want. We want and need these people up here.
Okay, here's another thing on that subject. Now, right now, they come in, people can hire them, companies can hire them and so forth. They can basically pay them whatever they want. But if they come in here through regularized, somewhat legal channels, they're not going to have these people they can pay them slave labor wages anymore. They're going to have to pay them, reasonable amounts of money, and then you're going to lose the whole economic incentive to have these people here in the first place.
Well, if you're correct and your argument makes sense, then what will either happen is that business will have to pay a fairer wage, or if those jobs are not there for them at these lower wages, then the transit of these people will be reduced one way or the other.
Well, I would think it would be increased because they're going to be coming in because the wages are going to have to be higher because they're going to have to be paid at least the minimum wage of what American citizens are. I can't imagine that anything's going to fly where you're going to be able to say, oh, we're only going to pay you $2 an hour because you're from Mexico and you're not a citizen. I think anything that they come through under a guest worker program or anything like you're proposing, they're still going to have to get paid the same amount.
We have less than a minute before the news. I want to thank Thor. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Love to have you more, but we got a whole bunch of callers
and
emails.
Thanks
so thanks for calling the Saturday special. A quick email here from Janine Niehaus. Hello, Michael. I have left my studio to come inside and second the opinion that this is the most patronizing man I have ever heard. The subject is a serious one and certainly needs a solution, but his idealistic idea has so many holes in it. If thought through to implementation, it would be nice to hear how he sees this going when even more people come in to have families and then expect citizenship, etc. That's from Janine. Okay. Hold that thought here. We'll get into that in hour number two. of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, and mine, by the way, AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m. Here's USA Network News, I think. Is it there? It's there somewhere. Well, that must mean we're 10 seconds off, so here it is.
USA Radio Network News. Kurt Lewis reporting. Still resistance in Fallujah, but for the most part, the U.S. Marines and other forces have control of the city. From all accounts, there's not much
It's currently 60 degrees here at the station in Santa Cruz, and we take you now to Hour 2 of the Saturday Special with your special host, MZ.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, indeed, it appears that we have done our share of kicking hornets' nests in the last few days, and this last hour is no exception. We're going to welcome you to hour number two of the Saturday special.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And it's 7 minutes past 11 a.m. Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We have a guest today, Peter Laufer, author of Wetback Nation, The Case for Opening the Mexican-American Border. He's upset a few people in hour number one. I've got a number of other emails to read to you. But before we get into any of that, we're going to take a break here and run the three-and-a-half-minute long commentary from Kay. This, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is her latest and greatest. I don't see how anything could be better than this, and I know I'm not overstating it. So go with that introduction, go ahead. Take it away, Aaron.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
For decades, liberals have been celebrating diversity, which is a more polite way of tolerating human differences. However, when these same champions of diversity are confronted with beliefs diverse from theirs, they become offended and they rush to the ACLU because their beliefs are being challenged by others. So here's the drill. The ACLU initiates a lawsuit and a hand-picked liberal judge rules in their favor. Recent case in point, and this may contribute to the Democratic Party's eventual demise. Because the mention of God publicly is offensive to the left, the entire Ten Commandments have been removed from all public buildings and schools. How mean-spirited! Couldn't those offended respect and tolerate the diverse wishes of other Americans who appreciate the priceless knowledge of the Ten Commandments? These so-called enlightened promote diversity, but only selectively. Hypocritical? You bet. How come highly educated elitists have forgotten that our wonderful and enduring democracy was founded on Judaic-Christian values that includes God? As a little Jewish girl in elementary school, every day the teacher read a portion from the New Testament, and I sat quietly and listened to beliefs contrary to my own about the divinity of Jesus. My parents were not offended, and I was not offended. I learned to respect the viewpoints of others, and it was good for my character. These short-sighted liberals are making intolerant wimps out of their children who will grow up always being offended, and they will be denied the right to grow backbone and deal graciously with all diversity. The Democratic Party is reeling from their recent political defeat. In order to regain their former respect, they should heed the wake-up call, shape up and grow up. They must discard their oppressive brainchild called political correctness, where competition is denounced, protecting feelings is primary, though it diminishes high standards and accomplishments, where parental respect is disdained, and the word God is a no-no, and on ad nauseum. If they don't finally get the message loud and clear, they will surely cease to be relevant as a political party. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, now, what can I say here? Every parent wants to be proud of his kid. I can't tell you how proud I am of my mother for that commentary. All the commentary she does are pretty much right on, but that's something special. It really, really is. Now, if you disagree, fine. So many people have called the comment line saying, right on, that's incredible. Many hundreds or thousands of people have just heard it who listen to the KSCO special, Saturday special, who don't listen to other day parts on our station for one reason or another. But I got to tell you, she kicked a hornet's nest big time. And yes, I am going to play a voice message that I received last evening. I'm just going to play it here.
Mrs. Swirling, that comment you made on your radio station was the most offensive I've ever heard. I will be contacting all the people that advertise on your radio station. Furthermore, I will be filing a formal complaint with the FCC. It is okay not to believe in God. It is okay to be a Democrat. We are moral. Get a life, lady. Wake up.
Now, was that a rational message?
No, it was not. Besides which, the FCC does not care. That's meaningless. But it was a great hang-up sound, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You really could hear the phone get hung up.
Incredible. It's just incredible. So there are probably some other messages. There might be some more messages, but that was just priceless. I mean, that
indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You can disagree, but
well, Michael, it's just a real treat for me to get exposed to your radio station, your audience, you and your mother. This is quite a phenomenon you've got
now.
Listen,
be honest. Okay, what did you think of that commentary? I mean, do you agree? There are parts of it you disagree with.
There are parts I agree. What I love about the commentary is that it's on the radio and it's a unique voice, somebody saying something they believe in, as we all struggle with what's going on in our society right now and try to figure out how to come back together. And I look forward to getting a chance to meet your mother someday. She sounds like quite the feisty woman.
Yeah, that's definitely an understatement here. So let's see if I can bring... you know what I should do here? I should read some of the emails here. Here's an email from Linda Velasquez. Your guest said that we share a culture with the illegals who come here. I disagree, as did the caller who was on the line at the time. I'd like you to ask him how he defines culture. I think that's the only way I will be able to understand how he could say something that sounds, to me, so ridiculous. And this is signed Lupita.
Lupita. Mm-hmm. We share, first of all, this characterization of illegals. We're talking about people in a region that is shared. We can't not share the culture. Culture is defined by everything that we do, the food we eat, the costumes we wear, what we talk about, our language, our thought patterns. We are a shared culture, if we like it or not, because we live together, even if you wish to use this identity, illegals. We live together. We interact intimately, and consequently, we are building a culture together. Just as your mother said, Michael, in that editorial commentary, when she described being in grammar school and listening to the Bible readings and learning about a religion that was not her own, she was sharing the culture with the teacher and with the other students. And that's what goes on every time you drive by a 7-Eleven that's a congregating place for daily laborers that wish to find work, and you just look at what they are and contemplate what that means to you, whether you're doing it consciously or not, you're engaged in culture sharing. And you're certainly engaged in culture sharing when you order a Corona and a couple of tacos.
Here's another email, this one from Paul and Carmel about Sierra Club and immigration. MZ, the turning point on this issue came to me after the Sierra Club viciously rejected an effort by former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb and other moderates to adopt a sound and reasonable policy on illegal immigration for environmental purposes. They were rejected as racists and hate mongers. If the Sierra Club couldn't see the environmental degradation that has and will result from the overpopulation that is spilling into the U.S. from South America, there is no hope. The good and bad aspects of the South American culture will become the dominant culture of the U.S. For me personally, I'm becoming more attached to the Mexicans. I work with the Mexicans I work with than the self-absorbed liberal environmental elitists who populate this state. It's not good that many are illegal, but I can't question their hearts and desire to have a better life. It's too bad they can't find it south of the border. And that's, again, from Paul in Carmel.
And in the book, Wetback Nation, Michael, I deal with Lamb and his long history back to the mid-'80s when I first interviewed him, anti-immigration stance, and what your emailer says is absolutely right. He took advantage, one could say, and co-opted the Sierra Club, forcing it into this awkward position that your emailer describes.
Okay, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 11:16, and we're going to go back to the phone lines. By the way, if you want to call us, our phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. Don't know if we have any faxes, but if you want to use the fax line, we still have one of those dinosaurs at KSCO, 475-2967. And, of course, if you want to email me now during the program, it's mz@ksco.com. At any other time, it's the same email address, mz@ksco.com. Our guest, Peter Laufer, author of Wetback Nation. Who should be next? I think it's Millie in Rio Del Mar's turn, line 5. So, Aaron, if we can bring up Millie,
yes,
and welcome
her.
Hey, Millie, how you doing?
Oh, well, thank you, and hi, everybody. Well, the fact is that the genie is out of the lamp. The lid is off Pandora's urn. This fact is a mathematical reality. They're here. The arguments against Mr. Lauper's ideas are those of, quote, beating a dead horse, end quote. The illegals are here anyway, and they're coming in by the millions, I understand 3 million each year. The government business entity has allowed this inundation for business reasons, and they're not going to change it. We do need regulation. I agree with Mr. Lauper. So even if the government wanted, this is for Thor, even if the government wanted to put troops on the borders, there are no troops. Has he noticed that we're in a war? There's no troops available due to the overextended and about to be expanded war out there. So forget that business. Older, ill, and out-of-shape guys from the so-called ready reserves, they are not the regular reserves. They're not the National Guard. These guys, 40 years old, 50, and even 60, are now being called up for skill shortages. These are experts that are being called up. Pilots, everything. Anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, the amnesties that were given some years back show the attitude and the handwriting on the wall to anybody who knows how to read, given by the various former administrations. Bush tried to put one in a few years ago, and he got so much static, and then 9/11 occurred, so he was palsy with Fox in Mexico, and Fox visited him and tried to push that through, but it didn't happen because of the political climate with 9/11. So for some of these callers out here, especially Margaret, you're going to have to suck it up.
What a terrible thing to say, Millie.
Oh, excuse me. I apologize, and I didn't realize it was vulgar.
Okay.
Drink it down.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call to the Saturday Special.
You're welcome.
You. Next caller will be Gary in Live Oak on line 1. So, hello there, Gary.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Gary.
Good
Gary.
Program.
I like to remind the audience periodically that you were the guy who was disrespectful to President Ronald Reagan.
Well, no, I was respectful to the people that elected me to stand for lower taxes and to oppose the appointment of members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Reagan had reversed himself, so that's what
I
stood
up. And what did you say again?
Well, I was invited back to the East Room of the White House together with scores of other newly nominated people for Congress, and we were told that we'd be given information we could use in our campaigns, etc. And after Reagan had won in Florida, you know, attacking Jimmy Carter for CFR and TriLat appointees and talking about lower taxes, he had just finished doing the largest tax increase in American history, and his cabinet had more people from the Council on Foreign Relations and the TriLat than Jimmy Carter. And he was using the congressional candidates for a news conference to promote his new program, which was the exact opposite of his stated position. So I was elected here on a conservative platform. I had a contested primary, and I advocated lower taxes, and I wanted to displace as many of these people from the Council on Foreign Relations as we could in the administration. So I stood up representing the people here.
Okay. Now why are you calling?
Okay. Some of the same thing. I got a few new things in here concerning this, and I think we need to step back and take a look. I believe this is an attack both on the middle class, and we're going in the same direction of the European Union. This free trade area of the Americas has an awful lot to do with keeping the borders open. And I think your guest there, the reason he doesn't connect, he refers to all these studies. Well, these studies come out of the foundations by his academic pals, his Harvard and University of Chicago and those other people that he's
talking about. Oh, and by the way, Gary, I did remember the name of my pal's book. It's The Devil's Highway. It's Luis Urrea. And no matter what one's point of view politically is, it's a fascinating book. And one of the intriguing things that Luis accomplishes with that book is that he went in somewhat prejudiced against the status quo and the Border Patrol. He came out of the experience of writing the book with extraordinary respect for the Border Patrol and their life-saving activities on the border. And in fact, his book is now, I understand, required reading from the Homeland Security Department when Border Patrol are newly hired to get an idea of what goes on. So
I recommend that book highly.
I can
understand, Peter, why they're doing it, because you're supporting the outlaws, not the people that support the laws. In fact, you castigated, I think, a group there that was concerned about the borders. The most recent vote in Arizona showed that all the people, despite CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, McCain, and they had a couple of congressmen that belonged to it, the people voted, you know, to
referendum 200 you're talking about.
And we're talking about 30% in our prisons. We're talking our hospitals here locally closing. We're talking about the large corporations that benefit by this, but the middle class is being messed entirely. We have George Bush's nephew doing ads and going south of the border, saying that the border, them giving them plastic bullets wasn't Bush's idea. It was the INS. See, here you got his nephew down in Mexico doing the campaigns, you know, during this last election. Telling them that Bush's position was for open borders.
Gary, let me ask you something, if I may. Let me ask you something. Since you and I and Michael and everybody who's called in, we all seem to agree that the border's out of control, if you think that my solution isn't worth a try, what would you recommend?
Right. I'll tell you the fix-it, which everybody's been ignoring. Change your local elected leaders.
Practically, what goes on the border to fix it? What would occur in your best-case scenario? What would be the fix physically at the border?
Great question.
It is. We've got troops around the world protecting other people's borders, not ours. In fact, on C-SPAN today, people can probably search it through the Internet. There's a 1950s law that allows local governments to enforce national law. In fact, there's a couple counties back east that are doing it. So I urge you, we could have our own sheriff take care of the problem. I'm down here on 41st Avenue right now, and the place is swarming with illegal Mexicans. And we've got to stop the border. It's eating out our insides.
Something you said a minute ago, I have to ask you this question. Are you someone who says we have no business being in Iraq now?
I would have preferred a declaration of war rather than what the Congress did. I think if a Congress supports a war by declaration, those boys are fully supported. This half-weird-in way of engaging, I disagree with.
But in light of what you said about we should protect ourselves, you know, our own borders before we be concerned with others, you know, with other countries and so forth, would lead me to believe that you're against the war in Iraq, regardless of, you know. But anyhow, I know it's a...
No, I tend to be the way we went in there. I think there's times you have to make a move for either national resources or national security, and that's okay, but it should be done through declarations of war and if necessary. So.
All right. So did he answer your question satisfactorily, Peter?
Well, we certainly are on the way, and it's in this whole 2 hours, as is the ongoing debate and discussion, is both fascinating and necessary as we all wrestle with this and try to figure out what we're going to do.
Because yeah, I think the long-term goal is...
Gary, you would agree the status quo is unacceptable.
Yeah, and I'm afraid what they're doing is it's this duplication of the European Union with these various treaties. First comes in the economic ones, the open borders, and then the union itself. And you can see what happened to Europe.
Hey, thanks, Gary, for your call on the Saturday special.
Yeah, you can see what happened to Europe. It's thriving. The euro is at 131 or 132, and it's integrating.
And most of us hate. Most of them hate us. It's 11:26 on AM 1080 KSCO, hour number two of the Saturday special. Is it true that there is someone named David on line three from the San Francisco area? Aaron, is that true? Or was it so long ago that they've dropped off, huh?
I'm still here.
David, are you really in the San Francisco area?
Yeah, I am.
Where?
It's a sunny day up here.
Where?
Down in the Mission.
Wow, cool. And you're hearing us okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hearing you on the Internet.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, you're streaming. So
right.
KSCO does a nice streaming job. I don't have to hang the radio upside down from the ceiling.
Do you live in the San Francisco area?
I do.
Okay. Good. And so how did you discover us?
Well, I've got friends down in, you know, Watsonville, Capitola, the city of Santa Cruz proper.
I gotcha.
All around, yeah. So
okay, well, thanks for waiting as long as you have. You're on.
Well, essentially, I take it your guest is still on. And
hi, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, how are you? I didn't hear the opening interview, so I only had... periphery series of comments, but essentially
it's just what you think. It's just what you think.
Okay. Well, I tend to look at the planet Earth as God's God's green Earth, and the idea that people can draw imaginary lines on it, imaginary lines that are based on taxes, and so then we're supposed to hate people because they either pay less or more taxes. Because they live on the other side of an imaginary line, that they can be paid less or more because of the laws devised for each side of an imaginary line, and that we can allow single-minded idiots to go to war based upon what happens on an imaginary either side of an imaginary line. So, you know, that just is a basis. I think I tend to agree with your guest that something needs to change with our border, and more security makes it more of a hoax. So that said, when we had NAFTA and GATT and free trade of the Americas and the Africa free trade, and now including South America and whatnot, we're essentially those programs were advertised that we were going to have one great big happy family of the economy.
And the fraud of it is, especially compared with the European community, is that in the European community there is free movement of capital and free movement of labor. And with NAFTA, what we created was free movement of capital, but we neglected the free movement of labor part of it. And that's why, and since you did come in late, what my book, Wetback Nation, recommends as the beginning of a solution to this chaos is to acknowledge the fact that, as you point out, borders are artificial, and that this particular one, the only place in the world, by the way, where the first and third world meet on a land border, that we acknowledge the fact that any Mexican who really wants to get up here, for the most part, is going to get up here. So let's regularize it so that we can keep out the people that we are really concerned about, not the people that we want up here working anyway. And as you point out, not only are these imaginary lines ludicrous conceptually, but historically, migration is economically driven, and it can't be stopped. Even
well, that's right. Well, much less that it almost shouldn't be stopped.
We might as well be having a discussion on growth management or growth control in Santa Cruz County, huh?
Well, essentially, if you look at it in terms of English only, you know, there's a hoax saying that that we should only speak one language on this side of an imaginary line. But if we're going to have a global economy, the more languages you know, the more money you're going to be able to make. So essentially, these crazy right-wingers, I don't even like to call them right-wingers because I don't think they're bright enough to have a position other than hatred. But the concept...
I resemble that remark.
Well, you know, if people who support English only don't want to make any money, why are they trying to restrict everybody else's opportunity to have an economy? You know, up here in San Francisco, we've got something like 70 different languages. And if you want to have, take part in a variety, you want to diversify your income, you're going to want to have as many different knowledges, as many abilities to communicate in those different languages as you possibly can.
David, and, you know, be reasonable here. I mean, we're not talking, no one's saying that people should be restricted from speaking their mother tongues. No one ever said that. All we're saying is that there shouldn't be 50,000 different ballots printed, you know?
Well,
you agree with that.
That said, there's the official
language of the state of California. This is America, and our language is English.
But I tell you, you're kind of being penny wise and pound foolish with it.
Well,
it's also
like migration. You cannot legislate language. You can try to, you can want to, you can think it needs to be done, but you can't legislate language.
Well, much less, there's a fear industry.
I'm trying to, guys. What's the matter with both of you? You guys totally missed the point on this English as the official language thing. That's what we're talking about.
We've never
had
an official language. We don't need an official language.
Right, much less there's a fear industry. There are people who profiteer keeping people afraid all of the time. And they don't care what purpose it is. They don't really care about, I mean, when you look at 9/11 and you look at the collusion that Bush had in the various aspects of it, he's done absolutely nothing to lessen terrorism. He's just done everything he can do to profiteer from it. And so these people are cashing in on fear, and they really will do everything they can possibly do to make the situation worse so they can further cash in on fear. This was, you know, you look at Adolf Hitler and how the various Jews were trying to escape from Germany, and they were turned back at the border. Here we've got death squads, all during the 80s, you had death squads in El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. We would turn them back at the border. We would send them back, to face death. There were a 250,000, maybe a 500,000 people who were murdered thanks to the Reagan and Bush administration, and this was, you know, solely that they could pay people 7 cents an hour to make products down there and ruin America's workforce. So, you know, then you end up with these crazy right wingers who say they're trying to support American jobs, but they're sure encouraging people to be sent back to their deaths. And by being sent back to their deaths, they're not supporting their unionism down in those various countries and raising the prices of their living standards so that they don't want to flee and come up here. So it's, you know, we've got a bait and switch about whether or not America is free. We've got a bait and switch about English only. We've got a bait and switch about immigration. This is all just essentially to keep America divided so that these guys can further capitalize on the transfer of money out of our country. And I if I understand what your guest is saying, he's exactly right. The, you know, you look at where the EU is compared to the US dollar, the people of the world are now having to decide, if Bush becomes president again, the people of the world are going to have to decide whether or not they're going to have to attack the United States.
Wait a minute, are you
Bush
recording
is,
or something? I mean, it's already after November 2nd. He is the president again. Is this a rerun?
No,
or something?
No.
This is a live Saturday special.
Aren't you?
Am I talking to a recording?
Aren't you keeping up with black box voting, that there are about 7 or 12 different states that quite possibly are going to get turned around completely?
We've had Bev Harris on,
right.
And then we've had both of those guys on. Yeah, sure. But nothing's going to happen there. Come on.
Well, you know, you can sell out your
this
country
is just
all
a bunch
you
of,
want,
this
but
is just
I don't...
a bunch of spoil sport, you know, crybabies.
Oh, it's spoil sport
because it didn't, because it didn't go
nation?
The way they wanted. You know that, David.
Aren't you a patriot? You don't want to protect and make sure that your country is having honest elections?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then
absolutely
don't say it's spoil sport and that we're crybabies. This is, you know, to say whether or not it was Bush's votes only or whether there were a great many mayor's races, Congress races, Senate races, you know, school board races that also got ripped off.
You just think it's just too weird, huh? Did you hear Kay's editorial or Kay's commentary at the top of the hour?
I only heard part of it.
Oh, what did you think of what you heard?
Well, what little I heard, it was just disjointed, you know, reactionary junk that I couldn't agree with. You know, it's the idea that everybody, it's just adjunct to the fear industry junk. You know, that you've got people who are coming up with fake arguments to keep America divided so that they can profiteer off fear. When you look at how Adolf Hitler did exactly the same thing, he came up with these fake arguments about how there's a mysterious somebody who is ruining your life, and that we have to attack this group, we have to attack that group, and then finally when it comes down to your group, there's nobody to protect you. So united you stand, divided you fall is my policy, and when it comes to people fleeing from tyranny overseas, I want them to be able to flee to here. It's a good idea to have courageous people come to America and it's a good idea to have inventive people come to America. But we have to have freedom elsewhere in the world so that these people are not forced to flee their homelands.
I don't know why, but I like this guy.
Well,
what's wrong with me?
Well, one of the things that I really like what I hear you saying, David, and what I try to point out in the book, Wetback Nation, is that we have a problem, and instead of always being divisive, as this society has become in the last several years, if just specifically regarding the situation I'm looking at in this book, Mexican immigration, if we can agree, all of us on all sides of this issue, that there is a problem, then we can begin to look at solutions. And that's why I hope and think that I'm embracing points of view when I say we have a problem, and everybody from Mexico who wants to come up here, for the most part, gets up here anyway, so why not let's regularize this so that we can begin then to solve the crises that this problem has created, this chaos on the border has created.
Sure. You know, just to sum up before I go, I would think that an easy way to determine what should happen on either side of a border is to look at what's called the true cost of production. You know, if you look at ruining the water source, ruining the, you know, sopping up all of the agricultural land and turning it into either subdivisions or factories that are non-productive as far as, you know, keeping both the environment and the people fed and whatnot, keeping some stable source of an economy, that the true costs of production have to be determined. And if you just allow a bunch of currency speculators to run the world and they come up with fake numbers that tell people false senses of cost of production, so that, you know, how can it really be that you can pay 17 cents an hour to make Chrysler cars on the other side of, you know, 20 miles south of San Diego? That's not true cost of production. That's, you know, when you, it's simply fake numbers. And then when you create these borders that are nothing but, you know, walls that are endless high surrounded by electric fences to make sure that people are locked into fake numbers, you know, then it becomes a fraud that becomes dangerous for both sides of the border. So,
I just figured
out
why I like you, David. You're cogent, intelligent, and articulate, and thanks for calling the Saturday special. I hope you'll send me an email, mz@ksco.com. Let me know who you are. That'd be great.
Yeah, will do. Have a good week.
Thanks, you too. Okay, Jim in Monterey has been waiting a long time. Let's go to him on line two, please, Aaron, and then we'll read the two faxes, and we'll get to Victoria in San Jose, and we'll even talk about what Dennis says.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. You're on the radio. KSCO. Thanks for waiting.
I agree that there is a problem, and the problem that I see is that we have a huge surplus of manual labor in this country, in particular in our area, and we have all the problems that accompany a huge surplus of manual labor. Our social welfare system is overtaxed, and our medical system is overtaxed because of the overuse of the emergency medical care system by the illegal immigrants.
But wait a second. Let's agree on something else here. Our emergency rooms are not just overtaxed because of any use that may be occurring from so-called illegal immigrants. Our emergency rooms are overtaxed because so many native-born Americans and naturalized citizens no longer can afford health insurance, and so they have to wait until they have a crisis and they go to the emergency rooms.
That's
we have to look
it,
at these problems holistically.
That's part of it, but that isn't the major problem that we're having, especially in our area. And if you don't realize that, I'm afraid you're out of touch. I really do. And the people in this area are very aware of what's happening. And that's why you have so many people that are so adamantly opposed to your point of view.
Well, no, that's not correct here. And Michael and I have been talking about how sometime we should get together again and talk about talk radio. This is a self-selected group. So that when you hear several calls in a row that say one thing, no matter what the subject matter on talk radio, that is not reflective of a population. And it's really important to keep that in mind whenever you listen to a talk radio show anywhere, and that's
true, but it is, excuse me, it is true here in Salinas, at Natividad, it is true here. And, sir, if you would look at the facts, you would have to admit that. Now,
stop. Do not put the words in my mouth, please.
Can I say one more thing, please?
Yeah, sure, but yeah, I just have to stop you when you put the words in my mouth. There is, if you take a look at the book, and I'd love you to take a look at the book, Wetback Nation, The Case for Opening the Mexican-American Border. My name's Peter Laufer. I'm the author. It's published by Ivan R.D. You don't mind me getting that promotion in there, but since we are talking about the book, I want people to be able to find it. If you look at the book, you'll see that a lot of the research is done in my home county now, which is Sonoma County. I've lived in Santa Cruz County, and there's a lot of similarities between the two counties. So take a look at the book, and you'll see that those words you just put into my mouth are not my words.
Excuse me, what words did I put in your mouth?
You said, if I look at all of this, then I'll see I'm wrong. I've looked at all of it, and I don't think I'm wrong.
Okay, well, that's fine. But, you know, I agree that I would like to see a preference for Mexican citizens in the manual labor category. I agree that the Mexican culture is part of the southwestern history of southwestern America, and those people are closely entwined with our culture. However, I agree with you again. They need to be documented. We need to know who they are, and this is what needs to be done. I'll give you my solution. The government of Mexico, the government of the United States needs to demand that the government of Mexico take care of its citizens, support, give them a social welfare system, and take care of their citizens. That's what needs to be done. The Mexican government needs to be slapped in the face and told to take care of their own citizens.
Absolutely. Isn't it interesting to hear what your caller is saying? And as the 2 hours progress, we are seeing less dichotomy and more commonality in terms of understanding the problem and seeking solutions. And that's gratifying.
Well, that's what I think talk radio should be, and that's what we always try to make the Saturday special. Now, you know, it's not always that we can get people from both sides to participate. We haven't right now, actually. We could on this particular subject for sure. So much to talk about later on here. It's 11:44 already. If you're online, if you're on hold, we promise we'll get to you. I have to apologize to Rory in Watsonville. He's been on the phone a long time, so let's take his phone call right now. He's on line 4.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sorry. Okay. There goes Jim in Monterey. Now here's Rory in Watsonville on line 4. Welcome to the Saturday special. Thanks for waiting, Rory.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know what? As I think about all these comments and your guest postulation, you know, there's got to be a way if there's a need on this side of the border for labor, there's got to be a way to get people up here that want to work for a certain time of the year, do it legally, without bringing their entire family and all the costs that come with that. Because essentially what we've done in California and some of the other Southwest border states is we're absorbing all their costs, their health care, housing, food, et cetera, is just flowing into the state. And there was an economist at UC Davis that ran the numbers, and it is a net loss for our social programs. We're paying out way more in California than we're taking in the area of labor.
The problem with these studies is that, again, the word starts to sound overused here by me these last couple of hours, but they have to be looked at holistically, even if that's the case. Pardon me?
The UC professor at Davis.
Right, listen to me, please. Even if that's correct, if you look at the economy as a whole, it does not make any sense to be separating segments. You look at the economy as a whole and the effect of immigration on the economy historically and in these contemporary times, there is a net gain to our economy from immigration, both the documented and the undocumented.
Look over the faculty at Davis on their professors of economy in the last He ran the numbers. There is a net loss. We are paying out more in social services.
Right.
Than
you
we
keep
were
saying
gaining.
Social services. I'm speaking, even if that's the case that there are pockets where there is a net loss in social services. It's not pockets.
It was the whole state, sir.
Even if it's the whole state, when the overall gains benefit the entire economy, then it does not matter if you have some losses in the social services
sector. Hang on a minute.
Just like there are some people, some places that voted overwhelmingly for Kerry in the election, like California and New York. But thankfully George Bush got to be our president.
But somebody's not paying their fair share, is my point. I can look back when we were having children at Wapentake Community Hospital, when it was a community hospital, before it went belly up financially and was bought out by a private firm. We reviewed a bill with them, and we were on a first-name basis with the lady in the billing department. She said, frankly, our paying customers are covering the cost of our non-paying customers.
Yeah. Yes, and that's
on
the way it is supposed to be. We are supposed to take care of one another.
Wait a minute. Not when I'm paying insurance, okay, to cover my health costs, and nobody's reimbursing me for that cost, okay, and my costs are artificially high because somebody else is coming up here illegally, I might remind you. Okay, there are people
so
who come
pick
here
the lettuce that's on your salad at lunchtime so that you can afford the lettuce.
You know, I work in the strawberry business. You don't have to educate me on that, okay?
Okay, so then you understand how
Peter,
it is that it's an
hold
entire
on, Peter.
Economy
hold
that we're looking at.
Peter, wait.
Okay.
The point is, business, whether it's agribusiness or the hotel industry or whoever, benefits by the artificially low wages if they're paying them under the table, and it happens all the time. They're not paying their fair share, but those that are playing by the rules do and pay more. Okay, and you've got
exactly, and here's where our point of agreement is. Exactly, and here's where our point of agreement is.
If we
regularize it, then we can minimize the abuses. But as long as we have the current chaos, then these abuses are going to take their toll.
Well,
Thank God. Peter and Rory agreed on something. Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me make one closing point.
We have 11 minutes left. We have to do a commercial break. We have to get to all these other callers. We have to read two faxes. There's no time.
Give me 15 seconds.
Go ahead.
Okay. The way to do this is to reinstate the Bracero program so you don't have us having people's families on the dole because they can't possibly pay the cost of living here for their families based on their low-paying wages, no matter what they do, because they don't have the education to get the $20, $30, $40-an-hour type job. Okay? We need to go back to that kind of a system, and that will regularize it, but we don't give up our border security. We need to secure our border, like a cell in the human body. If your cell wall breaks down, you get sick. So I'll let you go with that.
Thank you very much. There goes Rory in Watsonville. Okay. We have Steve in Watsonville. Let's do Victoria in San Jose. But you know what, Aaron? Have you got the stop set all cued and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Kill the promos, okay, and just do the commercials, and let's just do that now, okay, because we want to thank the people that make this possible, as they would say on PBS or NPR. Go ahead.
Okey-doke.
Oh, by now you've heard a lot of ads for job search websites, and, well, here's another one, but this time with a difference. SantaCruzJobFinder.com. Now, we chose the name Finder in our name because, well, for us, it's all about being effective, where employers can find quality job candidates and prime candidates can find jobs. Now, there are local job sites who will charge around $200 to post your job for 30 days, and, of course, those monstrous national sites, over $300, but we think that's a bit pricey. Here at SantaCruzJobFinder.com. 30 days is just $99. 2 weeks for as low as $50. Plus special discounts when you include your ad in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, reaching an additional 60,000 readers. Oh, and don't believe that bunk about people not looking for jobs in the newspaper anymore. It's a known fact that active job seekers look online and in their newspaper. So, more local jobs online than any other local site with pricing that makes sense. Place your ad today with SantaCruzJobFinder.com.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director. Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home, too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
KSCO AM 1080 is the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Indeed, and because they're stupid, we'll give them an extra 10 seconds to do that. Welcome back to KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station, MZ, with Peter Laufer, the author of Wetback Nation. Let's see, Greg in Santa Cruz, line four, real quick. Let's bring Greg up. He's been waiting. No, Rory, that's not right. Steve in Watsonville. I'm sorry, Aaron here. Is Steve in Watsonville? Is he there on line one? No, Victoria in San Jose.
Nope, Steve's there. Go ahead, Steve.
He is? Okay, Steve, you're there. Quick.
Okay, real quick. I agree with the Passero program 100%. When I was a young boy living in Colorado, they would bring the Passeros in. They lived in nice labor. I won't say elegant apartments, but they had cabins where they would stay. They'd do their work. They might go to Nebraska or wherever the next season, but they went back home. They didn't bring their families. We didn't support them. And the cost of picking a head of lettuce, what we see at the retail market, the cost of the labor is only about 10%. So if it costs us, instead of a buck for the head of lettuce, we paid a livable wage, you know, $8-$9 an hour to a picker, and it cost us a buck and a quarter for that head of lettuce. That would be a heck of a lot cheaper than what our social services are paying out for these families.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Now let's go to Victoria in San Jose, line two, if she's still there. You still have that? Line two, Victoria in San Jose. Are you there, Victoria?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Here.
Oh, I'm so excited to get on.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Sorry it took you so long, but go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I'm a white woman. I'm married to a Mexican national. He was over here illegally 15 years and married me to prove to my mom and dad that he didn't, you know, marry me for his papers. What I have to say is, first of all, I love your guest. I'm going to get his book. My husband and I have a few different views. He thinks the borders should be closed. I think they should be open, like this gentleman says, where you can control it better. Everyone has an ID card, a driver's license. That way, hopefully, the people with the prayer rugs that are paying, from what I've understood, even up to $50,000 to cross the border illegally, they'll have to show some kind of ID.
It's great to hear your call, and it's great to hear what you're saying. Obviously, pleases me to hear it, especially at the end of these 2 hours. I just want to say one or two things quickly while you're
sure.
there. I want to make it very clear that I'm not a proponent of the Bracero program because of the way that came up with those two calls. That's another program entirely that we could have for 2 hours. It was terribly abusive. And I also find it fascinating that your husband disagrees with you because in the book, Wetback Nation, I talked to many Mexicans who are up here and came up here illegally who don't want an open border. It's an interesting dynamic.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You know, and I work with a lot of Mexican people who are here illegally, but, you know, they are the hardest workers I know. They work in the fields. They do clean hotel rooms 7 days a week. They don't get vacation. They go in when they're, you know, if they're not feeling quite up to
it. Victoria, I hate to do this. We got to move on. Thank you very much.
Okay,
for the call.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Got
I'm going to get
across.
The book.
That's good.
Thanks. Bye.
Next
Thank
caller
you.
Will be Santa Cruz Mike on line 3. This ought to be a good call if it's who I think it is. Go ahead, Santa
Cruz
Mike.
Hey, Mike, another interesting show here.
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, you know what? I think this guy's brilliant. I mean, he's making money and writing a book and causing all this contention over something that's going to happen and it's inevitable and there's nothing that can stop it. I think he's the smartest guy I've ever known.
Making a lot of money part of it. I'm waiting for that to happen. Mike, I hope you are correct.
No, what do you mean, hope I'm correct? You know it as good as I do. Go to any airport in the United States. It's in two languages, Spanish and English. You look at the long-term government plan, it has been to open the border.
You're correct about him making a lot of money. That's what he means.
Oh, no. I think he's making money. These people don't do this thing out of the goodness of their heart.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a professional journalist. That's one who does something for money. That's one who does something so they can gain something personally.
Why do you say that with such bitterness and distaste, professional journalist?
Anyway, our long-term government plan is to form one great continent here so we can compete with China. I mean, we have declining birth rates in America. Where are we going to get revenue for Social Security? We have declining birth rates in America. Where are we going to get the ever-expanding tax base we need to support our wars and to support the growth of corporate America?
Yeah, these are really good points you make that haven't come up these last 2 hours.
Well, of course they don't come up because nobody gives a crap about that, because that's the truth.
You're interested in these emotional things. People are paranoid about immigration.
That's because that's a side issue. It's going to happen. It's happening no matter what the American people vote or want. The government, with the help of people like you, is going to continue to increase the openness between our borders so that we can have that infinite cheap labor from South America that corporate America and every little business owner is dying to get.
Okay, thank you, Santa Cruz Mike. Appreciate your call. Caller, a listener said I let the guest take over the whole program and the callers didn't get any of their points across. I disagree, ladies
and gentlemen.
I disagree
heartily. Okay. I've been muzzled here listening to the opinions of the callers.
Okay, Aaron, are the faxes you have, are they short enough to get in the next minute and a half here?
Yeah, but you might
Go
not be able
it.
To... Okay. First one says, sorry, Michael, but today's show is a major groaner. The program is way more suitable for Al Franken and Air America than MZ and KSEO.
Oh, okay.
Are you trying to get we listeners to bolt to music? Yeah,
no.
I'm going to go mow the lawn and get all this, quote, mush out of my ears.
Okay.
Your someday perhaps Mondays in Montana guy, Steve Hartman.
Yeah. Oh, Hartman. Okay, all right.
All right.
We love you, Stevie, but you're full of it on this one.
Okay.
What's next? What else?
There's Native Gary. It's kind of long.
Oh. All right. Well, you know what? There's only a minute and 10 seconds left. Sorry, Joe and Selena, you called too late. Call earlier next time.
Michael,
it's just been
fascinating.
Gotta have you back.
I so appreciate
we got to talk about talk radio so I can participate in the intelligent part of the conversation.
I look forward to that. I look forward to that. I very much appreciate the chance to interact with your audience. Clearly a stimulated and opinionated bunch you've got out there, and I very much appreciate
the
chance.
Well, it's because we've called out, you know, as the ID says, we cull out the stupid people.
That's
you know, only the intelligent people are permitted to listen to KSEO, and that's by design, Peter.
I like that.
It's very, very important. So,
if I give you $5, would you say the name of the book again?
I won't say it anyway. You don't need to give. Wet Back Nation, the case for opening the Mexican-American border by Peter Laufer, L-A-U-F-E-R. Somebody called you, kept calling you Lauper today, like Cindy Lauper. No, no, no. It's Peter Laufer, L-A-U-F-E-R. And you can get it at all the great bookstores. Hey, I guess that's about it. If you want to listen to the KSCO Saturday Special on demand, go to KSCO.com, hit Saturday Special. And go Bears! We're going to beat the hell out of Stanford today. Okay.
Hey, there's something we can agree on.
All right, that's good. So that's it. Now that's all, folks.
That's all, folks. KSCO Santa Cruz, KONY Watsonville. We now go to USA Network News, already in progress.
Wounded higher up the chain of command, Lieutenant General Mark Smith saying the success in Fallujah.